Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
So we're in this series called Pioneers. And again, that definition meaning to venture into an area to prepare a way. And in this series, really out of all these stories, seeing how, of course, it's God doing something with us and through us, but how in these stories we see when we trust Him, when we cling to Him, when we hold to Him, when we follow what He's telling us to do, that He has called us, His people, to be pioneers, to break new ground, to bring Him, you know, to bring light into the darkness, to bring God into the sinful world, to break through into this messy place we call this world and bring His love and His peace and His glory every single place that we come. And that's a pioneer. Right? Like, I don't want to venture into an area that's, you know, already been saturated with God. Now, we live here, we come to church and spend time with each other, but our calling is to venture out and bring Him to where He isn't, where to people's lives that don't have Him, to places that need Him, right? That is what we are called to do. So I want to start with the story, and you know, I spoke just a little bit last week about a story from California, but this story is actually about the time that we were leaving, and we spent a couple of years there and went to ministry school and helped with campus ministry out there in LA, which was interesting. I'll just leave it at that. But it was an amazing time for Tori and I to be out there, to grow, to learn. And so when we were leaving or wanted to leave, and I just really felt that God was speaking and telling us to come back to St. Louis. And so I talked with the leader that I was working with there and just spoke to him and said, hey, I really just believe that I'm supposed to go back home, to go back to St. Louis. And we just sat there across the table from each other, and he's just like, you know, I don't think that's right. I don't believe that's God, and I don't think it's right. I just want you to go back and pray about it for a couple of weeks, and then we'll meet again, you know? And I was like, okay, yeah, that won't hurt. We'll just go pray. Tori and I just go back, and we're going through our week and just praying about it. And you know, God, do you want us to go back to St. Louis and to be there and back where we've grown up and with our families and all that stuff? And so I go back 2 weeks later, and I'm like, the grace is lifted here, and I feel peace about going home, and so I feel like that we're supposed to go home. And he's like, well, I still don't feel like it's God. I'm like, okay, fine, but I'm still going home. And, you know, I don't have a problem with leadership, just when leaders lead you the wrong way. So I don't want you to give you the opinion that I'm just like pushing up against leadership. But we should always be led by God first and foremost. And the thing is in that second meeting that we had with him, he began to just share with me all the reasons that he felt that it wouldn't be good to go back. You know, well, this reason and family, it's too easy, and, you know, you just go back and won't grow like you will here, and this and that, and, like, just laid out all these different reasons why he felt like that I shouldn't go back. And I was like, those are great reasons, but I'm still going back. I mean, I know that it'll be hard. Actually, going back to St. Louis is probably going to be harder because there's actually a lot of stuff going on back there. That a lot of stuff to deal with, a lot of things to walk through. It's not going to be easy. It's actually like an unknown of what is going to happen whenever I go back. I understand that, but what I do know is that I'm supposed to go. I'm gonna cling to God and follow Him. You know, and I truly believe that this is what He's asking me to do. And it was some turmoil and something that I had to figure out and really communicate with God and just really ask Him, and it was not the easiest thing. And I want to tell you that it's not always the easiest thing to venture out into an area. It's not always to this unknown. You know, we want God to tell us everything that's going to happen. You know, my dad's got a great story. I mean, I have to use his because I don't have, I guess, as many good stories as he does. But, you know, when God called him into the ministry, and I'll make it way shorter than he tells it. So, and God just, like, spoke to him in this, like, he saw a piece of paper, and God's like, sign this piece of paper. It's my will for your life. And he says, I don't see anything written on it. Tell me what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go, what you're going to, you know, ask of me, and I'll sign it. And God's like, no, you sign it, and then I'll fill it in. You know, and it's an amazing story. I wish it was mine. It was a different one. I'll tell my story too, but that's how it is. You know, God wants us to sign the paper and say, I will follow you. I will cling to you. Grab hold of you. I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to turn away. And then He will guide. We may not know. We want the plan, right? But what I know is the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. Often, most often go awry. Actually, most every time. I would like to add that into that statement. Almost every time, whenever I make a plan, whenever I'm trying to do something of my own accord or because I want to or because I've planned it out, it usually goes awry. But when I follow God, whenever I cling to Him and I just follow Him, even if I don't know where I'm going, I know that I'm going to get where I'm supposed to be. So I want to read in Ruth and talk about this story, and it's an amazing story, and I think it's probably going to be 2 weeks. So we have this amazing story, and you have Elimelech, who is in Bethlehem in Judah, and his wife. He's got two sons. They're doing pretty well, but there's a famine in the land. People are running out of food. They don't know what to do. So he actually takes his family to Moab, and he moves because they need to go somewhere where he feels like he could, you know, sustain his family and take care of his family. So they move there. And then all of a sudden, in the story, we see that Elimelech dies. So Naomi's husband dies. But something good happens, then all of a sudden her sons, she's got two sons, and then they get married to Ruth and to Orpah. Without giving away the story, I would tell you that I would have known that Orpah was going to be the bad one first, just because of the name. But anyway. So her two sons marry Ruth and Orpah, and they're there about 10 years, and then all of a sudden, her two sons, both of her sons die. So now you have just Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. So you have Naomi, who's from Bethlehem, who's of God's people, and then you have Ruth and Naomi, who came out of sin, if you will. The way that I want to put it. They came from Moab. They were Moabites. I don't know how to say that, so I just made it funny. They were Moabites. But they came into the family with Naomi, but now it's just them and Naomi. So they have a dilemma. There's no man of the house, either the father, the sons, nobody's there. They're living with, you know, how are we going to take care of ourselves, protect ourselves? Usually a close family member will take them in, and there's nobody there. And Naomi's going through all these feelings and having all this torment inside of herself, and she decides, she hears that back in Bethlehem that there's bread and God is blessing them again, and that they might be able to go back and be able to sustain themselves. And so we come here to this moment in verse 8, and it says, and Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law. It seems like that they kind of went with her a little bit, like maybe they're walking out of town, and then Naomi's like, I don't even know why this is a good idea for you guys to go with us, go with me. And then she just starts spewing all this stuff. It says, and Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. Maybe you can find a husband here. Maybe you can find something here on your own. Maybe you can do something here back in this place where you grew up. I find it interesting that this woman that's from Bethlehem, who's an Israelite, she's following God, but she's believing in this moment that God's dealing dirty with her. You know, he's not treating her right, or, well, you know, he just has taken away the blessing. And then all of a sudden, she's just kind of like, maybe you can do better in the world. Maybe you can just go back to Moab and to this sinful place, and maybe you can do better. You can find yourself a husband here, probably. I don't know if you should go with me. So she kissed them, verse 9, and they lifted their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. They're like, no, we don't want to leave you. We've been with you for a while, and we want to go with you. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. I'm gonna wait for a second. So you have Naomi, and she's like, I just don't know. I'm going back because my people are back here. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm going back to basically live in my misery. I almost said ministry, which is, you know, to live in my misery because my sons and my husband are dead. There's probably nothing back there for us, but maybe there's something. I don't know. And you just don't go. I don't have the hope that I could bear more sons that you could possibly. And would you wait for them? I mean, why would you even wait if I could bear more sons for you to marry? Give them all the reasons not to follow, not to stay with. There is like, anybody ever have, like, this thing going on in your mind? You don't have to answer, because I know we all do. Whenever it feels like God is leading a direction, he's saying, here's where you need to go, and here's what I want you to do, and then all of a sudden, all the reasons why you shouldn't go, why it won't work out start playing through your head. They're not real. They're not right. They, you know, some of the hardships, the things might happen, but the deal is that if you don't go, you won't know. Should we go be with God or should we go back to the world? And I'll tell you that going through a hard time with God is any day better than going through an easy time without Him. Finding your own way and thinking it's easy ends up, it's not really that easy. But going through anything with God is better than being without Him. So back in verse 14, then they lift up their voices. She's like, don't go. You shouldn't go. I can't give you your husbands any more husbands, and I don't know what will happen. And I'm just spewing out all this negativity and fear and all this stuff. You shouldn't go. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and said, peace out. I'm out. Here's a kiss. I'm going back. But Ruth clung to her. You know what that word clung means? It means clung. She grabbed hold of her. She stayed close is what it means. It just means that, like, I'm not leaving you. I am grabbing a hold of what God has called me to. God has placed me in this family, and I'm not going to leave it of my own accord. I'm not going to make the decision to get out of this place that God has called me to. The world back there has nothing for me. I don't know what is here ahead, but I know what's back there, and it's not good. I'm going to cling. To where He has me. She clung to her. She held on to her. She grabbed a hold of her and wouldn't let go. Just this picture, even just this picture, I love it. Imagine that she just grabbed a hold of her leg or something, you know, and is like, you're going to have to drag me with you. I'm going. And in verse 15, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. See, she just turned around. She kissed me, said goodbye, said, sure, I'll leave God and I'll go back to the world. It doesn't make a difference to me. I can't see what's ahead with God. I can see what's back here in the world, and I think maybe I could just make it back there. I can't see this place that we're going to. I don't have the plan all together right in front of me, so I just don't know if I'm going to go. But Ruth said, no, I'm not going. And in verse 16 it says, but Ruth said, entreat me not, urge me not, argue with me not. Don't argue with me. Don't urge me to leave you. Don't talk to me anymore about this thing, about turning back and going back to Moab, because I'm not going to go. Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. When you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you from me. She's like, listen, you're giving me all the reasons. You're kind of going through a rough time, and the enemy's kind of giving you all the anxiety and the fear and the torment and telling you why I shouldn't follow. But I'm going to give you all the reasons why you won't be able to get rid of me. I'm going to go where you go. Your God, she said, your sister went back to her gods. You know, there's hundreds and thousands of them. You can worship any one of them you want. You can go back there. She's like, no, that may have been my past, but it's not going to be my future. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to go back there to the world, to that world that I knew before. Your God will be my God. I am with you. You're not getting rid of me. So in verse 18, it says, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. And this is funny, but seriously, do you know when the torment, those thoughts, those things that are going through your head that are trying to tear you apart from God and trying to bring you to a place of fear and going back to where you were before? Do you know when those things stop? Do you know when they stop? They stop when you're determined, so determined to cling to God, to cling to where He has brought you to cling to the Father. You're saying, listen, I don't care. I don't have to see what happens up ahead. I don't have to know what's going to happen. I don't have to even be living an easy life, because that's what she was saying. Like, it's probably going to be easier. It might be hard this way. You should just go back. It doesn't have to be an easy life. What I want to do is I want to be where God has me. I'm going to cling. I'm going to cling to God. I'm going to cling to Him. And I just imagine this story. I think of it in a way, not that Naomi was the devil, but like in that moment, the enemy is talking to us. The same kind of thing is happening, giving you all the reasons. All the reasons. All the excuses. All the stuff. And you know when he stops? He stops whenever you say, you are getting me away from God. Do you see who I'm clinging to? Do you see who I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, I just want to look at the devil and be like, do you see? Don't look at me because I'm nothing. But do you see who I am holding on to? The one that I won't leave. The one that I won't let go of. And this story just says, and she just stopped talking to her. She's like, well, okay, fine. And I just imagine in those moments and these things going through our head, and we're like, look, just look. And the devil's just like, all right, fine. I'll leave you alone. There was an unknown, but it didn't matter. She didn't know what was going to happen in the future or what God was going to do to take care of them. But Ruth said, I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go of the place that He has brought me to. I won't go back to the world. I won't go back to the place that I was before, where I lived, that old life. I'm not going to do it. You know, it's interesting. It's similar to a story in Genesis where God is talking to Abraham. He says, go to a place that I shall tell you. I shall show you. And it's that same thing that we all go through where we're like, God, just tell me. Just show me. And God tells Abraham, I want you to leave your family and go to a place. I want to do great things in you. And I want you to go to a place that I will tell you where it's going to end up later. I will show you when we get there. I will show you, not have shown you. And in this moment when he's talking to Abraham, he didn't say, I'll show you everything. He just said, I'll bless you. See, we don't ever have to worry about the blessing or God taking care of us when we're following him. We may not know where it's going to end up. He may not give us all the details, but the details that he does give us is that I will be with you. I will take care of you. I will sustain you. I will bless you, and because of you, others will be blessed. I will use you if you follow me. So back in the story with Ruth. Ruth is like, I'm not letting go. I'm not leaving. Your God will be my God. I'm going to die when you die. I mean, that's a strong commitment. She's like, I'm going to be right with you. So if something happens to you, that's what I take from this. If something happens to you, it's happening to me too, because I'm going to be that close. That's how close I'm going to be. So they go. They go on to Bethlehem, and they get there, and they're just trying to make it, you know? And Naomi, I'm trying to tell you so that we're not reading all the whole book of Ruth. I'm just going to tell you some of it. And Naomi is going in, coming into Bethlehem. Her friends come up and see her. They're like, Naomi! She's like, don't call me Naomi. That means, well, what does it mean? It means, Mara. She said, call me Mara, because Mara means bitter. Don't call me Naomi. It meant something like peaceful or blessed or something like that. She's like, don't call me that. Call me Mara, because that means bitter, because that's what's going on in my life right now. And she's walking in. So she's still dealing with this stuff, but she's got Ruth that's clinging to her, that's with her. And so they're there. And then all of a sudden, Ruth is like, listen, Naomi, let me go out and try to prepare a way for us to have something to eat. Let me go out. And in this whole story, I just see every single step of the way. It's like a pioneer where she is just stepping out and saying, somehow, some way, if I stay with God, if I stay where he's placed me, then I am going to be able to prepare a way for him to move. It's not going to be me, but somehow there's going to be blessing. It's not going to be something that I do, but somehow there is going to be peace and we will be taken care of. But I get to be a part of it. And so she just clings to Naomi. She said, just let me go out and glean. So she goes out to the fields and she gleans. You know what gleaning means? It means just basically like pick up what's left over. Pick up from the ground anything that those that are coming by to reap the harvest. These guys out there that are coming and taking and reaping all the stuff off the stalks and all the wheat and all the stuff, and they're bringing it in and, you know, wrapping it up and to glean. And she's like, let me just go out and just pick up what's left over. Even if I go, you know, I think one of the most amazing things to me is to see when somebody comes in and just says, I'll do whatever. To the church, to a house, to a wherever. I'm not saying just here. I'm just saying wherever. Like, one of the most amazing things is to see somebody say, I don't care what it is, I'll just help. I'll pick up the trash off the floor. I'll clean the toilets. I don't care. Let me just be here and to help. I just want to get into the place where God can do something great. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is that I do. I just want to do it for God. So Naomi goes out into the fields and she's gleaning. She's just picking up after they've come by and reaped all the harvest, picking up what she can. And in Ruth 2, in verse 1, it says, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man with great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I might find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. She's like, just let me go. Let me just go pick up what's left over after these guys go and reap this wheat. I don't know what else I can do besides just pick up the trash, but maybe we can use it. And in verse 5, then Boaz says to his servant, who is in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. So if you will with me, just thinking about this story, thinking where she's come from. And at one point, she was doing pretty good and had a husband and living in Moab, doing well. And all of a sudden, things fall apart and she doesn't have a husband, and Naomi's going back to Bethlehem and she's trying to urge her not to come with her. She's like, I don't know what's there for you and I can't give you another husband, so there's nothing for us. But she clings to where God has put her. She clings to God, if you will. She clings to Naomi. And she says, I'm not going anywhere. And not only that, she's not only staying in the place where God has put her. When they get back to Bethlehem, Naomi's still having a bad attitude, okay? And calling herself bitter. But Ruth says, listen, just let me go out, and whatever I can do, I'll just pick up and gather some grain that we could probably have some. Maybe we'll have a little left to sell. I don't know. And make a little bit of money, but let me just go out. She just wanted to serve. She just wanted to help. I don't care what it is that I do, as long as I'm doing it for God, as long as I'm in the will of God, she's saying, I am just going to do it. And then we get to this scripture where she's out there, and then all of a sudden she's in this field, and Boaz says, who's that out there? You know who he sees? You know there's other women out there that are gathering. There's other women that are out there picking up what's left over. But he sees her because she didn't give up. She didn't turn back. And you see again the determination she has to stick with what God has called her to. Because it says, she came as continued from morning. And the way that he says it, I can just tell. He's like, listen, she has been here for a long time. She didn't give up. She didn't just pick up for a little while and then leave. She stayed and has worked hard and has worked through the heat and the strain and her back hurting. She's been here and just working. She only rested for just a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, listen. So Boaz sees her. She says, I'm going to stay here where God has me. I'm going to do what I can. to work and help. It doesn't matter what it is. And so all of a sudden, then there's visibility. All of a sudden, then Boaz sees her. And in verse 8, it says, then Boaz says to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So all of a sudden, there's visibility. And then Boaz is speaking to her, and then all of a sudden, there's protection. Do you know why this stuff started to happen? Not because she made a place for herself, but she just said, I just want to serve. I just want to cling to God and what He has for me. I don't care where it is. I don't care what it is. I'm going to do what God is asking me to do. I'm going to follow Him. I'm not going to turn back to the worldly ways, but I'm going to follow Him. So all of a sudden there's visibility and then there's protection. And there's also provision. It says, if you're thirsty, go drink. Don't worry about it. I'm taking care of you. And in verse 15, and when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Listen. Let her glean, let her pick up whatever she wants, and don't get on to her. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So all of a sudden, there's this visibility because she clung to God. She clung to Naomi, but she clung to God's will, to where He had placed her, saying, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to stay with God. She comes to this place just to serve. And because she served and didn't give up, then all of a sudden there's this visibility. She was recognized. And then after that, he said, haven't I told the men to leave you alone? That you're protected by me, there's protection. And also, just take all the water that you want. Just go up there. There's provision. And she continues on, not stopping, not giving up. And then what it says is that Boaz said to his servants, the ones reaping, he says, listen, don't get on to her for picking up among the sheaves. And not only that, actually, you know what I want to do for her? You know what I would love for you to do is actually just drop some of the good stuff for her. Drop some extra. She's been doing this work to try to take care of her family and try to be where God's called her to be, but I want her to know that she is blessed. And these things come not because she did something to make a way for herself, but she was just making a way. She was preparing a way for God to bless Naomi, Naomi's family, for God to do something in them. So when I hear this story, and we're going to go next week into the second half of the story, which is even more amazing. But I want to see that she wasn't afraid. She wasn't afraid of the process at the beginning. She wasn't afraid of the unknown. She wasn't worried about what was going to happen when she followed God. She was actually, you know what she was worried about and what we should be worried about? What happens if we don't follow God? She says, I don't have to have it all figured out. What I need to know, though, is that I'm with God. And then as she follows him, as she starts to get into the place where God has her, she just serves, and then all of a sudden God starts taking care of her and makes her visible, allows her to be seen, starts protecting her, putting her on Boaz's heart, and then allows provision and protection and allows blessing to come to her. That is what God wants for his people. And you know where it all starts? It all starts with clinging to him. It all starts with that, just holding tight to who he is, saying, I won't go back. I'm not going to go back. Maybe it's not even going back to the world. Maybe it's going back to like a couple of years ago before I went on this fun little venture with God, and now I feel like I'm at a stopping point or there's a roadblock. And God, where are you at, and what are you doing? I want to go back there. But I believe God's saying, listen, will you stick with me? Will you cling to me? Will you hold tight to who I am? So that I can do something great and prepare a way for people to know who I am. And that's what's next week, so you got to come next week, okay? To prepare a way. And next week we'll talk about how Naomi, going further in this and her relationship with Boaz, how it prepared a way for us to know Jesus. Like, think about that. I'm not going to give you all the details. You can go read the story and figure it out for yourself if you want, but I'll talk about it next week. Ruth prepared the way for us thousands of years later for us to know Jesus and have this relationship with him. And as I say that, I want to say to you, God wants to use you, me, each and every one of us to prepare a way for people next week, a year from now, maybe even hundreds of years from now. Lord willing, we're still here. Not us, but the world, I mean. He wants to use us to prepare a way for people to know who he is. That is a pioneer. That is who we're called to be. Will you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.